Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're going to turn a rewind moment into something that really earns its place in a jungle or old-school D&B track. Not just a reverse gimmick, we're making a saturated, gritty, dance-floor-ready phrase that feels like a battered tape pulling the listener backward right before the drop. In D&B, a rewind moment usually works at the end of a breakdown, just before the drop, or as a fake-out in the middle of a track. And in jungle, breakbeat heavy rollers and darker old school inspired cuts, it can become a proper event. The point is not just to reverse audio. The point is to make the rewind feel physical, compressed, and slightly broken, in a way that still locks to the groove. Why this works in D&B is simple. A rewind does two jobs at once. Musically, it resets the ear and makes the next section hit harder. Technically, it gives you tension without relying on a huge riser or a generic sweep. And because D&B is so focused on groove and low-end discipline, a saturated rewind can bring attitude without cluttering the sub or washing out the drum pocket. The first thing to do is choose the right phrase to rewind. Don't start with random texture. Start with something the listener can actually recognize. A snare fill with ghost notes works really well. So does a chopped break hit, a short bass stab, or a vocal phrase with attitude. The best rewind moments have identity. If the source has no rhythm or no clear ending, the reverse won't feel like a proper event. A good rule here is to keep it short. Half a bar works for a quick fake out. One bar is the classic rewind pullback. Two bars can work if you want that bigger old-school stop-start feeling, but be careful. In fast music, long reverses can blur the groove and weaken the drop. So if the source feels too loose, trim it down. Tight is usually stronger. Once you've got the phrase, consolidate it to audio in Ableton Live 12. If it's MIDI or layered material, print it first so you can edit cleanly. Keep a duplicate of the original hidden or muted just in case. Then trim the clip so it only contains the part you want to reverse. You want the rewind to be readable, not overloaded with unnecessary tail. Now reverse the clip and line it up so the most important transient or syllable lands where you want the ear to catch it. Usually that's on the last half beat before the drop, or right as the phrase starts to pull backward. Don't make it too mathematically perfect. A tiny push or pull can help. If it feels lazy, nudge it slightly early. If you want more drag and suspense, leave it a touch late. The goal is to keep it in the pocket, not floating above the drums. What to listen for here is whether the reversed attack actually lands with intention. It should feel like it belongs to the drum grid, and it should support the groove, not fight it. If the rewind starts stepping on the kick and snare, adjust the timing before you do anything else. Now comes the part that makes this feel like a real jungle device, saturation. This is where you stop the rewind from sounding like a clean reversed sample and start turning it into a physical object. A really solid stock device chain is auto-filter into saturator into EQ8. If you want it heavier, you can add drum bus between saturator and EQ8, or after, depending on how much transient squish you want. Start with the filter. If the source is bright, low-pass it somewhere around 8 to 14kHz. If you want it more stylized and narrow, try a band-pass feel instead. Then add saturator. A few dB of drive can add grit and harmonics without destroying the phrase. If you want more obvious tape-style chew, push it harder. Soft clip can help keep it dense and controlled. If you bring in drum bus, keep the drive modest at first. You want character, not a smashed blur. Why this works in D&B is because saturation creates harmonics that survive in fast, loud arrangements. Transitional detail gets lost easily in drum and bass. The ear has very little time to catch a tiny effect. Saturation makes the rewind audible on small speakers, in headphones, and in the club, without asking for more level. A good way to think about the effect is like this. Option 1 is clean saturation with saturator only. That's great if your source is a vocal, a snare, or a break texture and you want clarity with a vintage edge. Option 2 is heavier damage with drum bus after saturator. That's better if you want the rewind to sound more battered, more old school, and more aggressive. Use the cleaner version if the arrangement is already busy. Use the heavier version if this rewind needs to feel like a feature. After that, shape the tone so the rewind doesn't steal your sub. This part is crucial. A rewind should live in the mids and upper mids, not down in the sub lane. Use EQ8 to high pass the effect somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, depending on the source. If it gets boxy, cut a little around 300 to 500 Hz. If saturation makes it brittle, tame some of the harshness around 2.5 to 5kHz, and if the rewind needs more bite, a small lift around 1.5 to 3kHz can help the transient speak. What to listen for here is the balance between presence and cleanliness. The rewind should be obvious, but it should not cloud the kick or smear the base reset. Always check it in mono too. If you widen it too much too early, the effect can lose weight or start behaving strangely against the rest of the track. In most cases, keep it centered and solid. Now we add movement. A rewind moment feels strongest when the tone changes over time, not when it just sits there. Automate the auto filter cutoff, the saturator drive, or even the clip gain so it feels like the sound is folding inward. A nice move is to sweep the cutoff from around 12 kHz down to 2 or 4 kHz over the rewind. You can also increase drive slightly as the rewind approaches the drop, then pull it back at the impact. If the rewind is too loud, automate the gain down by 1 to 3 dB in the final half beat. This is where the effect starts to feel like it's gathering tension. If you want an old-school feel, a subtle low-pass drop can make it sound like tape slowing down. If you want a darker, more modern feel, keep the bandwidth narrower and let the saturation do the heavy lifting. You can even automate the filter closing a little faster in the last half beat, if you want the ear to read it as accelerating backward. That's a great fake-out move. Now always test the rewind in context. This is not optional. A rewind that sounds amazing solo can completely fall apart once the drums and bass come back in. Put your attention on three things. First, does it leave room for the snare that starts the next section? Second, does it support the swing of the break instead of flattening it? Third, does the bass restart cleanly after it, or does the tail muddy the first note? If you're working with an old-school break or a more jungle-driven arrangement, a little empty space after the rewind can be deadly in the best way. For example, let the phrase rewind over the final beat, then strip things back for a tiny moment before the drop lands. Even a very short gap can make the incoming drums feel much more powerful. Less can absolutely hit harder here. Keep that in mind. At this stage, decide whether this rewind is a one-off arrangement moment or something you want to keep as a reusable asset. If it's working, commit it to auto. Printing it gives you a lot more control. You can trim it exactly, duplicate it for other sections, or make alternate versions later. In DNB production, committing a good version is often the smart move. It stops you from endlessly tweaking and lets you build the track with confidence. Now let's talk flavor. There are two main directions that work especially well here. One is the tape-worn rewind. That version has gentler saturation, a little more filtering, and a softer edge. It's perfect for old-school jungle, vibe-heavy rollers, and vocal moments. The other is the aggressive damage rewind. That one uses heavier saturation, more clipping, and more upper mid-bite. It's better for darker DNB, high-tension fake-outs, and sections that need a nastier pullback. What to listen for is the emotional read. Tape horn should feel nostalgic and slippery. Aggressive damage should feel like the track is ripping backward before it slams forward again. Both work. The key is matching the rewind to the energy of the tune. A few extra tricks can take this even further. One useful approach is layering two reversed versions from same source. Keep one readable, centered, and fairly narrow. Then add a second layer that's more filtered and more saturated, but quieter. That gives you menace without turning the mix to fog. Another nice move is to print the processed rewind, reverse it again, and trim the attack, so you only keep part of the mangled tail. That can create a really broken, tape-bent feel that sounds more unstable and more alive. Also, be careful with stereo. A rewind is often stronger when it's tight and centered. If you want width, add it very subtly and maybe only on the quieter layer or on the tail. In club music, centered usually means heavier. Wide everywhere often sounds impressive in headphones, but less powerful on a system. A good versioning habit here is to make three quick variants. One clean and short, one darker and more saturated, one slightly longer with a bit more tail movement. Then audition them in the full arrangement, not solo. In many cases, the version that sounds slightly underwhelming alone will actually hit hardest once the drums come back. That's the one you usually want. So here's the recap. Start with a source that has identity. Keep it short and readable. Reverse it cleanly and lock it to the groove. Add saturation with purpose using Ableton's stock tools. Use EQ to keep the sub clear and the tone controlled. Automate movement so the rewind folds inward instead of just sitting there. Then test it against the drums and bass, because that's where the real decision gets made. Once it works, commit it and build from there. Your practice challenge is simple and worth doing. Use one source phrase, one bar or shorter, and only stock Ableton devices. Make three versions, one dry and short, one heavily saturated, and one with filter automation that creates movement. Keep them monosafe, place them before the same drop point, and render your best version to audio. Then save a second alternate for later use. If you do that, you'll have a rewind that doesn't just sound backward. It will sound intentional, gritty, and properly locked into the language of jungle and old school DNB. Now go make it hit.